Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Back Porch Writer Podcast, the show for writers, about writers, and writing. It's live, fun, and informative. Each week, I chat with writers, editors, and industry pros to give you and me a heads up about this whole new awesome publishing world. Back Porch Writer is about creating the life that you want through writing and publishing. Are you ready to tap submit? Let's explore the possibilities together. Welcome to Back Porch Writer. Welcome to Back Porch Writer, the show for writers, about writers, and writing. I'm your host, Corey Miller, and today is September 27th, 2016, and it is a gorgeous day again outside. It's all bright, and it's not hot. I love that. I really do. I know I've mentioned this before. I love that we're coming into fall, and it's getting cool, and I can have the windows open. This is brilliant. Love it, love it, love it. Can't complain about it one little bit. So today I thought it'd be fun to talk about procrastination. And my guest, we were just chatting before the show started, we were also talking about not just procrastination, but fear of failure. So we're probably going to get into that a little bit too. But before we do, I want to give a few shout outs to some people who have been supporting me over on Twitter and sharing my information about my books. There's P.A. Pretty. Thank you so much at P.A. Pretty. It's P-R-I-D-D-Y. For supporting my work, Dante, that's my children's book, and at Allman Writes, Arlene, thank you so much for spreading the word about Dante. And, of course, RG Book World and Reader's Gazette, you guys rock over there sharing information about Dante, and, of course, Deadly Sins 1 and 2. I really appreciate everything that you do, and I'm looking forward to having you on the show at some point, so you better get in touch. So thank you to all those people over there. I was going over on Twitter, obviously, and reading one of my lists that I have there, and I forgot all about Indie Author Fringe. Indie Author Fringe is put on by Ally, a group I belong to, and these are fun events. They used to do Indie Recon, and it went on for a couple days. Now this year they just tried a different approach, so they're calling it Indie Author Fringe, and these one-day events coincide with major book fairs that are happening. So the London Book Fair, and then you have the Indie Author Fringe happening too, or the Book Expo in New York, and then there's an Indie Author Fringe. I think there's three or four scheduled throughout the year. So the next one is coming up October 22nd. So you can go over to the Ally website and find out more information about Indie Author Fringe and the speakers that are going to be involved in that event. It's a free event. And I did not participate in the very first one that I think was attached to the Book Expo, but that's because the speakers, what they were talking about, just didn't fit what I was into at the moment, so I didn't want to spend my time there. This one I might, because it looks like there's a few different speakers and people I'm not familiar with and not as familiar with their work, so I may check that out a little bit more, but I have to go back and look. The other thing I found over on Twitter, which was kind of cool, and I haven't had a chance to read it, but I wanted to throw it out there for you so that you could check it out, is if you go over to Now Novel, that's nownovel.com, it's a blog. There is a blog article there called How to Write a Book Series, 10 Tips for Writing Smash Hits. And I was just perusing quickly, and I'm like, oh, I need to read this because there might be some really good nuggets in there. And I think, Angela Ackerman is the one who posted that over on Twitter. So if you don't remember that, remember Angela Ackerman, and you'll probably be able to find the blog post that I just referenced, because, you know, I just found it, so it's not even in the show notes here. Sorry, it's not there. Not going to lie. So that is what's going on right now, right here. Oh, before I ask Glendon to come on to the show, Glenn Perkins is the guest I have here on the show. He's been on the show before. He was on a couple times in the first year in 2013 when I first started Back Porch Writer, and we had so much fun talking. And one, we did it as a group thing because we were all talking about horror, because I love Halloween and he writes horrors and thrillers and things like that. And his writing has always reminded me of Edgar Allan Poe, which is a huge compliment, I think. I love Poe. I haven't read him in a while, but I've always liked his work. Anyway, so he'll be on the show in just a second. But before I do that, I have to brag about my son for a minute. So I have a 12-year-old son, and he's in the sixth grade. And a couple weeks ago, his schoolmates were talking about the election, something I don't like to talk about. I don't like talking about politics. To me, there's just no point. I have my views, my opinions, and I read a lot and all that. But I don't like talking with other people about it. But he was coming home talking about various things with the election and what his friends were saying, and it irritated me to no end. And that resulted in me giving him a political science assignment project that culminated in a presentation in front of his father and me. So he did that yesterday. So he spent the first week doing a report on Trump, did the second week doing a report on Hillary Clinton. He opted not to consider any other candidates. He just wanted to focus on the two, the Democrat and the Republican candidate. And he had to use primary source information in order to write his report. He also had to use something called the VIA Strengths Survey, or VIA Character Strengths Survey. And what that survey does is it gives you insights into who you are, what your primary strengths are. There's, I think, a list of 24. And the ones that fall in the top five are the things that really, at your core, this is who you are at the end of the day. You know, and for him, teamwork was a huge thing. Honesty was up there. Creativity was up there. So these are character traits that everybody possesses, and some are just stronger for you than others. But your top five are your go-to strengths. In a pinch, that's how you will respond, is based on those values and those strengths. And that's what he did. So he used those. He had some ties, so he actually had six, and he chose five of the six. And he ran with it, and then he used that information to compare what he was learning about the candidates with what he actually values and who he is, and then made his decision about if he were able to vote today, who he'd vote for. And so I just want to brag a little bit about that he, you know, went through this. This is a little over 2-week project that he had to spend time doing, and believe me, he procrastinated. He really, really did. But at the end of the day, he got it done, and he is a well-informed sixth grade not able to vote person at this juncture, but we're very proud of him and everything that he did. So I wanted to share that with everybody else. So now, without further ado, let me bring Glenn onto the program. Hey, Glenn, welcome back, Porch Rider, again.
Oh, thank you again for having me back. You know, I was listening to your little thing about your son, and you're an inspiration because I just wrote a 3-word horror story, Trump or Clinton, you know, and so there you go.
Okay, no, we're not going to talk about
that. Ever heard. I know. I just had to. Yeah.
But very funny.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to watch the debates. I'm head down doing the things I need to do, and that's it. That's what I'm going to be doing. But I am proud of him, and both of my husband and I are both very proud of him, because I'll tell you what, that's quite the feat for a 12-year-old boy to do an extra assignment.
Yeah, I mean, it probably would have been better just to, you know, pull out teeth or something, just to go through all that.
You know, and he didn't even want me to inform that his teacher, he has a social studies class, and his teacher was planning on covering things about the election, and so I knew that, and he didn't even want me to mention it to her that he was doing this. He's like, no, please don't.
Yeah.
Then the expectations would be too high. You know, he's like, she'll
exactly.
Want me to say something.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had a very short conversation via Google Plus a couple weeks ago about writing, and I was asking what you were up to. And what do you remember what you said about what you were doing?
I have no idea. That's too long ago.
Too long ago. Well, it led to this
yeah.
whole. It led to this whole thing of why I wanted to talk about procrastination and why writers stop writing, even if they're just stopping writing for a brief period of time. Because that was essentially what you were telling me, is that you hadn't written in a long time. And then, of course, just so everybody knows, before the show, I do chat with the guests. And so we were chatting before the show about some of this stuff, too. And you mentioned it's actually been, you said, like a year and a half or something since you wrote fiction?
It's been at least that long. I mean, I've had little spurts of fiction stuff. But just actually sit down and focus and do it. And I've tried a couple times to do those NaNoWriMo, you know, in the November and the July. And I pretty much get to the point where I've only written the title. And I just don't go any further than that. And I don't, you know, we talked about it. And I'm just afraid of it. I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, sits right alongside of alligators and grizzly bears for me. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I would rather avoid them.
Well, I would rather avoid a grizzly bear and an alligator too.
Yeah.
But what you're getting at, and what we talked about briefly before the show, was this whole idea of a fear of failing and putting something out there and it not taking off or not being received well, or you're perceiving that it's not being received well. And so the question that I have is, then how do you get around that? What do you do to deal with this fear?
You know, I haven't figured it out yet. I mean, honestly, it's weird because nothing is more of a failure than not doing it, you know? So it's kind of that catch 22 or situation where, you know, I'm afraid to do it, but I'm failing if I don't. And I thought what I would, you know, I've done a little some other creative things in hopes of sparking that. But as of right now, as far as the actual fiction writing goes, it hasn't done much for me. I have done a lot of writing recently. In fact, I've done a huge amount in the last few months since I tried to do some other creative, you know, I worked on a YouTube channel just to do some creative things to help, you know, hoping that the spark would come. Although I'm not certain that the spark is about fiction as much as it's about afraid of fiction or afraid of writing, those kinds of things. And it's weird because I think they go together. You know, again, I write often enough, and some of it's, you know, opinion stuff and thought stuff, which is really what a fiction is. I guess you could argue that. But as far as actually building a character and being able to be within a character, you know, and living their life and getting it down on paper, there's a significant, you know, dark forest that I have to pass through that I haven't been able to do yet.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting you bring up the whole, you were hoping it would spark, doing the other ventures would spark some other creativity. It's interesting. I've been listening to a book called Originals by a guy named Adam Grant. And he, if I recall correctly, is an organizational psychologist. And so he does research and reads lots of research and things like that. And one of the things he brought up is that people who procrastinate, and that's not exactly what you're doing, though I could probably make the argument for it, those individuals tend to become more creative. Because when you stop something, either in the middle of it, and I know you've heard this, I've heard this, you know, stop your sentence in the middle and then come back to it the next day or whatever, it actually helps you push forward creatively and come with some ideas that are what you wouldn't have done otherwise by trying to just force the words onto the page, which I felt really good about reading because I've been a procrastinator my entire life. So I thought, oh, let's see, I was just being really creative. I used to say I could come up with some brilliant bullshit at 2 in the morning when the paper was due the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And it would just be, you know, and I would get an A on the paper. So then I was getting rewarded, right, for my procrastination.
Right. Exactly, yes.
But, this idea that you've got, I think, like I said, some of this, the fear of failure and it's stopping you from moving forward. Before the show, I didn't agree with you. And part of it is because I had looked over on Amazon to look at Furbate. We didn't mention it yet. The book that that you put out is called The Path. And why don't you tell everybody quickly what that is about, and then we'll get into a little bit more about this fear of failure thing.
Okay. You know, it's weird because it's one of those stories that just kind of comes. Well, I guess that's not weird. That's how they all go for me. It's a short story. It's about a young girl who finds herself kind of in the middle of death for the first time. And I wrote it as literary fiction because it was kind of a challenge for myself. And it was a suggestion from a writer that I've got a lot of respect for, who's actually, you know, been successful. And I've been in her online magazine a few times with my horror stuff. And so she suggested I try this. She said, I think you can do it. I said, okay, I'll give it a go. And the idea came from the family Yorkie is getting really old. and I was thinking about one day how sad I was going to be when she was no longer around. And lo and behold, here comes the story. It's really, it's also about the father of the daughter who's, you know, he wants his daughter at such a young age to be protected from experiencing death for the first time. You know, he's hoping that she can wait until she's older, where he thinks that, you know, perhaps she's a little more, she has more, more of an ability to deal with it. And as the story ends out, she deals with it fine. And it's a surprise. There's, you know, it's kind of a proud moment for the father. And they're both going along this, you know, the path with, to bury the member of the family that had died. So.
Mm-hmm. So, you touched on a couple things here. I said in the beginning, mm-hmm. oh, he's a horror writer, he writes thrillers, and that's what his focus is. Did that intentionally, right. Because I knew we were going to talk about this. And that is that what you decided to publish, and this is the first thing you've, book-wise, you've really put out there, is literary fiction, not horror. So you took a risk on something that was very different.
Yeah. Well, in the past, though, I have, you know, I've had horror stories that have been, you know, picked up through competitions and stuff like that. So it's not
right.
You know, it's my first attempt at something different in a different way. And the horror stories, and even on your site, I'm sure it's still there. It was one of the first ones, but you know. If we go back and think about it now, it's, gosh, how many years ago was that now? Four?
Maybe. Three, four.
Ago? Yeah, with Disconnect. There's as much literary fiction in there as there is horror when I think about it. And it's still on your site somewhere. I don't think that, unless you took it down.
Oh, yeah. No,
yeah.
It's there.
So,
it's on Corey Miller Wright. For everybody who's wondering about it, it's on Corey Miller Wright.
Oh, yeah. And that was one of those stories that was emotionally charged, so I just wrote it and didn't think anything about it. But.
Mm-hmm. See, I guess I could see that there's there's an aspect of literary fiction in what you wrote before, but this seems mm-hmm. It's so different than what I've read of yours before.
It was hard to write, it was, because I wanted to keep it in the literary fiction, but as they're walking along the path, I wanted things to climb and jump and slither and crawl out of the forest. I really did, because that's kind of how I think of it. When I, you know, the stories I write have some sort of an element that way, where it's, you know, the things that we're afraid of that are coming to us.
Right.
So it was, I struggled with keeping the monsters out of the story. Not that I don't think it's a good story. I think it's a good story. It's just hasn't worked out the way I wanted, and I haven't done any of it since. So although I'd like to incorporate those kinds of deeper, you know, humanistic qualities in the writings, as far as to actually do some sort of, you know, day in, day out, daily living literary fiction stuff, I just don't think I could do it again. It's just, I can't
mm-hmm.
keep the monsters
out
of it enough, you know.
Well, there's that, but literary fiction is not exactly an easy sell either, in terms of a genre. So you sat there and did something that was totally, it was outside of your realm. You took a risk, then you put it out there, and you put it out in a category that is a harder one to sell. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that
mm-hmm.
series writing is the you know, cream of the crop, and romance is on top of that. So write a romantic series and you're good to go. The competition is really heavy.
Yeah.
I'll put a little Slytherin in there. It'll be all right.
Yeah. We're not going to go down that path.
I know. That could go bad really quickly. My brain was really going down that path quickly. Okay, we won't do that. But
okay.
The other side of it, you know, when it comes to writing and publishing books and things, it takes a lot of marketing, consistent marketing to get things moving at all, to move the needle at all. I mean, I can say last year I spent time, because I wanted to focus on it, on marketing my books, and I saw a difference. I actually got a modest amount of money from selling and marketing last year. And then this year, I started graduate school a couple weeks ago, but I just this year I've gone a little slower and I haven't been as consistent, and I can see it in my numbers. So that I know that that's been my experience on the publishing side of things, and I've put out the short story collections and then the novels and stuff like that. So it really for me has come down to being consistent, finding the marketing that works for me, and then being consistent with it, essentially. But with your book, I thought it was interesting. You've got 3 reviews for this book, The Path, and they're all.
Do?
Yeah, you do.
I didn't know that.
You have 3 reviews for this book.
The very first review I got an email about the review. I don't think I've seen an email about the review since. I didn't even know that there's 3 reviews. I thought there was only 1.
Yeah. No, there's 3, and they're all, I think, 5-star reviews. And if I remember right, they're all from verified purchases, which is heavier weight than when they're not. So you've got a story there that people have really enjoyed. So it may be a matter of put some more marketing, serious marketing behind it, because you've got the reviews were excellent. I mean, they just were really good.
Yeah.
And again,
when I read
verified.
The first one, I was completely taken back by it. I didn't expect that kind of review for the story. I was happy with people just picking up the book. As far as the review, I suppose that's part of it is the reviewer. I mean, I don't know if I'd even care what the reviews were. I didn't write the book I didn't write the story to get reviews. You know, I wrote it to see if I could do it, and it turned out well.
Mm-hmm.
I won't sit here and, as we've talked many times before, away from the radio show, and that I've never been somebody that's been overly comfortable with their writing. I've always diminished the quality of it or the value of it. I rarely ever talk about how I liked the story. There are very few of the writings that I've done that I can go, I like that. I thought this was really good. I enjoyed it. I had a good feel for it. Most of my stuff is, oh, gosh, this is terrible. Should I even
do it anymore? Here's the thing. You haven't gone on Amazon and looked at these reviews, right?
Just the first
one,
and the reason I knew it, because I got an email for it. So I don't know where that disconnect has come from. Because I would have,
So you don't even know the rank of your book then, do you?
I have no idea what the rank of my book is.
Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, because you're sitting there you're telling me about this fear of failure. Let me just explain this to you right now. I'm looking at the Amazon bestseller rank for your book, and in the paid Kindle store, it's like 554,164. That's actually not bad. It's not in the millions, and I've had mine in the millions. But here's the thing that's really interesting. In your categories, you have this in Kindle eBooks, literature and fiction, literary fiction, short stories, and you're at number 1,021. Think how many books get published, and you're at 1,021 in short stories, in literary fiction short stories. That's excellent. I would consider that a win. Personally,
stop telling me this. I'm not going to be able to fit my head through the door.
I'm just telling you, this is the reality of it. The failure side, but it's not failing. It's actually doing well. And you put a little bit of marketing behind this literary fiction short story book that you have here, and you're going to see that number change. That number. The other one is you've got it in single author, short story, single author. It's at 7251. You've got it in books, literature and fiction, short stories, anthologies, short stories, and it's at 11,745. You might want to change that category if you can. Play with these categories. I wouldn't change it from the first two. I'd probably play with that third one a little bit because you can. See if you can get into another category that's literary fiction books, short story books or something. I don't know if you can. If you can't, you usually can contact Amazon and see. Because if you see another book that's like yours, that's short story literary fiction book, not the Kindle eBooks, and you can't, you see a book that's categorized that way, but then you can't find it when you go to change your categories on Amazon, you can usually contact Amazon and say, hey, I found this book in this category. Can I put my book in that category? Because I've done that. And so I've been able to put my book in a category that I knew existed but couldn't find when I went to upload the material. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is not, three verified reviews. Here's what the first one said from Peter Noah Thomas. I feel like I just walked the path with Anna and her father. That's really good. The other one is Invisible Witness, and the title of the other one is Touching Story. Heartwarming story, well-written, easy to visualize Anna and her father as they walk together. Because one of the things that you're excellent at, I swear to God, every time I would read something, the horror stuff that you did, the reason it was so great is because you, one, felt like you were there, which was terrifying, and two, you could visualize it. I mean, I could see it all in my head when I was reading it. And so this person is saying the same thing about your literary fiction. And so are the other reviewers. They're basically saying, hey, we were right there and we could see it all. That's amazing. That's really good.
Yeah.
So, just saying, you might want to follow up on some serious marketing for the past.
And that has to.
And that,
I guess my idea of failing is probably a little different than that. So, when you actually look at the numbers, like you're saying, it's not that bad, considering it's, 2 years old now and I've done minimal marketing. I was never one of those people that was going to ram my book down somebody's throat. I just didn't feel comfortable with it. I know that that thing is what annoys me more than any, is people like, here, this is my book, here, take and read it, and here, you can have some wine to, swallow this down with. I wasn't one of those people that was going to do that. What I wanted and what I hoped is that it would, it would succeed on its own merit. And I know that's a little bit ambitious to think that the book is just somebody's going to pick it up and go, oh, this is fantastic. Here, why don't you five people read this? I was hoping for that, which is probably why the marketing is so poor. So it is one of those things that I am not very good at, and that's for sure, is the marketing section of it.
Well, the marketing side of it, it doesn't have to be the ram it down your throat. I mean, I agree with you. I don't feel comfortable doing that sort of thing. And so I've found methods that work for me, and it bottom line is being really consistent about the methods that work for me. And that category stuff I was just talking about, that's part of it. So knowing that you can play with those categories and what you can do, that's marketing, and that's a simple tweak to do that sort of stuff. I don't want you to procrastinate on this whole marketing thing. I'm bringing this full circle. I'm going to be following up with you on the marketing thing.
Yeah.
Do not procrastinate.
We get so off topic when we talk.
That's all right. That's part of the fun of the show.
The first show that we did, I don't think we talked about anything that we had listed as what to talk about on that first show.
Probably not. Yeah. The horror one we did because we had like two other people or something on there and we were talking about horror.
We had the guy from England over there.
England.
Of course, yeah. It is, whatever the reason is.
So, Glenn, you need to get back on the show with me and talk about all the things you did for marketing in the next, month. Touch base with me.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll talk about
how
things are changing. No pressure, right?
Hey,
I'm giving you a month to start
doing
stuff.
It's coming up October, right? So I should probably maybe focus on an October story.
Yeah, you could.
I could.
And then, like I said, I'll send a little message. What'd you do for marketing today? Well, Glenn, thank you so much for being with me on the show again.
Oh, thank you for having me again.
It's always a pleasure, and I'll be tweeting with you shortly to remind you about, not procrastinating on the marketing.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that works. I'm there once in a while. I'm not on social media much anymore, but, I'm there.
You'll see it. So. Okay. I'll talk to you again.
Thanks again, Corey. Bye.
Well, that's it. That's Glenn. Go check him out. He's got a book out called The Path, and you heard the reviews. They're excellent, and they're all verified reviews, which is awesome. So until next time, pull up a chair, sit a spell, and write.
Thanks for listening to Back Porch Writer.
remember to rate, review, and subscribe via iTunes so people just like you can find the show. If you've got comments, questions, or want to be a guest, visit backporchwriter.com for details. I'm your host, Corey Miller. Until next time, pull the chair, sit a spell, and write.